in a just called
mindfulness of breathing.
Buddha just shifts from the mindfulness of the body to mindfulness of feelings, and that shift is there's it's on a certain level it's a very natural shift in that they're going from say, making the body peaceful, tranquilizing the body, making it peaceful, making it relaxed, and then going to feelings. The next is the experiencing, piti, is the say the first aspect of mindfulness of feelings, so that the Buddha's. I think that's a very natural shift in that when we really attend to the body, relax the body, are very mindful, and we become peaceful within the body, then there's pleasant feeling arising. There's a sense of well-being, sense of rapture, and piti is actually a word that's used in many different shades of that. It doesn't just mean sort of kind of blowing off the top of one's head rapture or anything. It's just very subtle shades of very subtle shades of relaxation and this settledness. I remember one time Ajahn Chah talking about the appearance of piti, and he said that the when you as you're meditating and relaxing and settling, using the breath, then there's a point where you it's just that you quite naturally the body just is sort of, there's just sort of breathing quite deeply, and there's a kind of a settling, and Ajahn Chah said, well, then, that's piti, and that's part of the range of piti, and that's not such an uncommon experience for meditators. It isn't as if there's the say these qualities are out of range of most meditators. So that too, recognizing that this sense of because sometimes we tend to be looking for things that are generated by our desire, and our desire mind that is conjuring up what we want to experience, what we think we should be experiencing, how we would like to be experiencing a meditation, and just to be attentive to more the actual feelings and subtleties of the experiences that we are that are present, so that using the mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of breathing, really entering into and abiding in the sensation of the breath. There is this sense of relaxation that is one focuses on and trains oneself in, but then also one definitely starts to experience that and to recognize it, to see that that is something that is actually occurring, or not, in the sense that one is aware that okay, there's still this tightness or this restlessness in the body. And then one can still sort of bring up the, you know, an actual positive frame of reference within the mind as one's holding the breath, in that sense that recognizing that, okay, I can direct attention to that which is more grounded in well-being, in feeling, a feeling of piti, a feeling of happiness that can be directed in that attention. One can still use that framework in order to set a tone for the meditation, because oftentimes we can either be a bit desperate sometimes of trying to make it work, or getting worried, or getting anxious, or it's important to just relax in the meditation and let the awareness work. And that's and obviously that's a qualified statement, in the sense that it's not just about relaxing. It's relaxing in order that the awareness can actually function, or awareness can really come to the fore of our experience. Now that, because sometimes we do relax and then awareness drifts off, drifts away. So that attending to the meditation, attending to the framework in terms of feeling, that bringing up of a positive, pleasant feeling in the meditation. One can attend to places where one does feel relaxed, where one feels settled. This is something that Ajahn Lee emphasizes in his instructions, that to bring attention to places where one's experiencing the breath in a pleasant way, a positive, relaxed feeling is being generated. there's a school of thought in, not just in Buddhism, but in the world, that sort of is a sort of more pain, more gain sort of thing, and that you're not really meditating unless you're experiencing lots of pain, and that's a good thing. And then the kind of gung-ho type of attitude that comes around that, where one has to then conquer the pain. Obviously pain is an integral part of the meditator's experience, or it has always been in my 30 years of meditating. But just the fact of having a physical body and sitting down in a one position for a length of time, whether it's, even if it's only 20 minutes or a half an hour or three quarters of an hour, an hour, 2 hours, there's always some level of discomfort It's just the nature of the body. So it's important not to just be shrinking away from the pain, but and one has to have the patience to be present for unpleasant feeling as well. That's one of the in terms of the characteristics of dukkha. One of the things that hides dukkha or covers up dukkha is changing posture, and that's both on a physical level as well as on a mental level. We're constantly shifting and changing, trying to get away from dukkha. But when we're sitting and meditating, by necessity, we're having to be present for the that which is both physically uncomfortable as well as that which is mentally, emotionally uncomfortable. It's there. And to develop the skills in learning how to be foster awareness around that, so that the attending to something which is more pleasant, relaxed, tranquil, picking a point is not just an escape, but is a skill. In that that one develops, in that one is consciously aware, and one has to sort of make that conscious recognition, this is painful. But then, using the mindfulness and awareness to find a place of abiding, which one cannot be, say, intimidated by that pain, so that for myself, I've experimented many different ways, and certainly, struggling with the pain, conquering pain, is one of those options. But I found that it's hard to maintain over a long period of time. And whether it's a 3-month retreat or whether it's a holy life of years, if one is always just sort of bashing away at pain, I found myself getting averse, and then that has its own repercussions, because the aversion starts to then spread into not just aversion to the pain, it's aversion to the body, aversion to the meditation, aversion to the Dhamma, aversion to the Buddha. Why did he make me do this? that is not a useful result. So that taking physical pain that one is experiencing and recognizing, well, that's not the whole picture. Where do I find a place of relaxation? Where am I settled? Say that I can. Pain in the knee, which is for me anyway, is a constant. Then, where do I put attention? If I keep bringing attention down to the knee, then it's just this. In the end, it ends up a distraction. So, taking a place, just the rhythm of the breath, and then really relaxing the breath. And it isn't as if the pain goes away. Or one's just trying to sugarcoat it. as if it's really not there. But it's a, you know, it's like making a conscious choice. Say, oh, well, this is something that I can attend to for a long period of time, and one still recognizes pain is pain. But in terms of settling attention and relaxing the body, and then being able to spread that relaxation throughout the body, and including the pain, that's possible, or in my experience, that's what I found has worked best for me. So that taking the breath. And a point in the body where one is feeling relaxed and settled, and then allowing attention to settle there, and then going into the attention there. There are times when the mind just keeps going to pain, or it feels overwhelmed by pain. And it is an interesting experiment to actually just take the pain and go into it. But I think it's sort of something that, you know, one does from time to time, as opposed to, you know, every single meditation was just sort of going into pain all the time. But because it is important for us to recognize, you know, how much perception plays in dealing with pain, in the sense that this is in the discourse on mindfulness of breathing, the Buddha, the section on feeling, and sort of experiencing piti, and breathing in, breathing out, experiencing pleasure or happiness, experiencing sukha. I breathe in, I breathe out. I train myself in that way. And then experiencing the citta sankhara is the third step in this, the tetrad on feeling. And and then calming the citta sankhara is the fourth. And citta sankhara is vedana and sanya together. Vedana and sanya is that which conditions the mind. So that there's the feeling, and then there's the perception. It's impossible to sort of split them out absolutely and completely. there's those two things happening within the mind. And those are fundamental kind of constituents of the mind that are always present. There's in any mental state. There's always feeling and perception, unless one has entered Nirodha Samapatti, which is a rare occurrence. This feeling and perception is what is conditioning the mind, what is creating the mind, what is building the content of the mind. So that when we experience pain, then we tend to also have a perception. We perceive it in a certain way. We perceive it as something that is threatening. We perceive it as something that is unwanted. We perceive it as something that is benign. In the sense that one can, perception also conditions our reaction to it. So it's important to recognize that, you know, sometimes when we're practicing, you know, how we're holding a painful, or pleasant, any feeling, or neutral, but, you know, I'm talking about pain at this point. There is the painful feeling, but then there's also the perception, and perception is both memory, say the memory of how we've related to things, how we've experienced things, and then the importance that we place on it, the value that we place on it, so that the something that can be painful or unpleasant, but we can perceive it as something that is actually, well, this is valuable, this is useful, this is something that I can investigate, this is something that I can bear with and learn from. It's a perception. and to, you know, to recognize that there's, you know, because we can come up with the opposite perception as well. So we have experienced something painful. This is awful. This is the end of the world. My meditation is finished. I'm hopeless. All because of a painful sensation. So that recognition how these are working in the mind, and that so that you know, as we experience something that maybe painful, we can cast it in another light as well. Okay, how do I use this? How do I work with it? Come back to a sensation that is more neutral, so that there's an opportunity for relaxing and settling, so that the you know, using the breath and the sensation of the breathing. Attending to the breathing, the breath, in places where there's a sense of, it's not getting tight and constricted and fraught with the perception of difficulty and complication. And really, you know, where, how do I attend to the breath so that there's a sense of relaxation, settling, spaciousness, uncomplicated, qualities of well-being. And again, this is where you know, the Buddha does emphasize this to be training oneself in experiencing piti, experiencing sukha, so that it helps to facilitate the practice. It helps to facilitate the deepening of well-being and stillness within the mind. And you know, obviously, you know, it'll be dropped, it'll be relinquished, and one has to relate to that skillfully as well, because we can similarly, you know, what is the perception that comes up, you know, feeling and perception, vedana, sanya, citta sankara, what proliferates the mind, what creates the mind, you know, you know, there's this little sort of flash of well-being sort of flits through the mind, and then the perception of, wow, I'm really getting my meditation together now. Wow, boy, I've got piti now. This is such a wonderful thing. Boy, am I great! I've experienced the fruits of meditation now, and that perception. You know, it's just another feeling, so that the You have to recognize what is the mind is starting to, where it's starting to move, what's it starting to create within itself, and always returning to that quality of the breath, that sort of that rhythm of the in breath, the out breath, awareness, mindfulness. Say this is the anchor, and then to watch the feelings, perceptions arise and pass away, and to recognize, you see, experiencing and then calming, see, the feeling and perception. One is using the breath to calm and to settle, bring the mind to a point of tranquility and clarity. And in terms of using using awareness, using the mind, that sense of with piti sukha, the constituents of the piti and sukha are constituents of the first jhana. It's helpful and useful to be working with that as a framework. But also, you say that the constituents of the first jhana, vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. Vitakka as the initial kind of the initial thought, and vichara as a sustained thought. Piti, sukha, ekagata, one-pointedness. So that using that vitakka is sort of the lifting up of awareness, lifting up of an object, the first sort of thought of a attention, what one's attending to, so that lifting up of attention to the breath, and then the vichara as the sustaining of attention around that feeling of the breath as it comes in, as it goes out. And then you'll notice the mind start to wander or start to drift a little bit. And then that's where that's where you're really being conscious of that lifting up of the mind to the object of attention. Really lifting up and placing attention on the object, on the breath. And making that quite conscious of the, and being aware, that's vitakka, vitakka, and then vichara, and then as the mind sustains its attention on that object, and in particular, say, on the breath, and is noticing with clarity the sensation of the breath, and the looking at it from a this different with interest and sustaining that interest. I mean, that's vichara, that sustained attention, attending to things in a sustained way. And you know, there can be some movement there in that, you know, one is investigating, attending, looking at it from different directions, but the object is sustained. And then it's just as everything is impermanent, you know, that attention starts to become a bit diffuse, or it starts to and starts to wander a bit. So then to really consciously One to recognize, okay, this is wandering. Vitakka, lifting up attention again, placing attention on the breath. At whatever point one's lost it, or one recognizes, okay, well, I've lost it there. Okay, new breath, vitakka. Here I am, lifting up and placing attention back on the breath again. Okay, vichara, how do I sustain that? How do I keep that sustained attention? And so that it's that vitakka vichara that really gives the mind the work to stay with the breath, and then the vichara is sort of looking at the different subtleties of sensation, the experience of the breath. How do I sustain attention? So that and then okay, lifting up again. Okay, and one can take it in a different angle, different perspective. But anyway, there's that sense of vitakka, lifting it up and placing attention back onto the breath, and then vichara, sustaining that. So that this is the work of the as we're meditating, that lifting up and sustaining, lifting up and sustaining. And as one is sustaining the attention, and it becomes more consistent, then there's this settling, and that's where the body relaxes, the mind relaxes, and then that's naturally where the sense of piti arises, piti, sukha. As one experiences piti and sukha, I mean, sometimes that quality of zest or rapture that arises can in itself be, I mean, it can be very energizing. The energy can then be a cause for losing attention. One gets distracted because of the energetic feeling, or so all of a sudden there's one comes alive, and there's this certain excitement about, but then it's difficult to sustain that, and this is again where one has to return to the okay, vitakka, lifting up attention onto the object, sustaining attention, lifting up, vitakka vichara, lifting up and sustaining, and then that slowly sort of shaping, composing, settling around the breath, and brightening that one pointing. It's not just a one point that it immediately comes on. Say like there's this little green light, in this microphone here. And it isn't as if you press the switch and boom, there it is. This one little green light, just is one pointed. It stays there all the time. It's not like that. When the meditation there's this a certain sort of brightness and subtleness arises, but then one needs to shape, contain one point, bring it back to that point, and it's the nature of the mind is looking for objects outside of itself. It's either looking for objects outside of itself, or it's sort of collapsing in on itself. So that that shaping and using the energy of the vitakka and vichara, that initial application of mind, and the sustained application of mind, in order to create that continuity of awareness and attention. And as one does that, you know, that's when the mind really starts to settle. And that's the work of meditation, just using the breath as that underlying theme or rhythm. There's the breath there that we then use in order to we utilize that the breath and relax with the breath, but then bringing the mind onto it with that vitakka, vichara. And as we sustain that and work with that, one pointing it, and then there's those qualities of well-being and pleasure arise, the mindfulness and the meditation become a pleasurable experience. and even if it is unpleasant in the sense of when experiencing pain, that doesn't preclude the opportunity to still work with that same vitakka vichara. Okay, how do one is experiencing something that is, you know, maybe physically painful, might be mentally painful, some painful memory, painful emotion in the present moment. How does one work with that lifting up of attention to it? It's a sustaining attention. As one relax around it, so there's this sense of zest and interest that has some quality of, you know, enlivening, and that changes it into something that is, as it can be quite pleasurable, joyful even. So that that working with attention is the key, and then, you know, and it's probably, you know, just the examples I've been using are the more extreme aspects of our experience, in the sense of pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. You know, but what is actually more predominant is neutral feeling, you know, neither painful nor pleasant. You know, how much of our life is neutral? Well, a lot of it, really. One of the problems or difficulties is that we're not used to sustaining attention or lifting up attention to something that's neutral. We tend to look for something else, or, you know, get bored and frustrated because it's neutral. And that's oftentimes what happens with the breath. You know, why is it that we can't sustain attention on the breath? You know, one of the reasons is it because it's neutral and we get bored, or nothing's happening. But, you know, the nothing happening is actually the real important ground for us to be then cultivating the inner qualities of vitakka, lifting up, using the effort and resilience within the mind, the inner qualities of patience and attention, so that we're, you know, lifting up that attention and placing it back onto the breath, the neutral object, the neutral sensation, and then sustaining that. And how do we sustain on it without the inner qualities of interest, investigation, kind of that query that underlies our spiritual quest, spiritual search. Then you know, we're always going to spend our time looking for something that is either more interesting, more gratifying, more satisfying, or when that fails to bring results, then at least we can grumble and complain about that which is miserable and which we don't like, which is somehow, you know, it's an option that we're constantly taking. So that to use that neutral sensation, the neutral quality of vedana, adukkha masukha vedana, neither painful nor pleasant vedana, it's really important to really start to hone attention so that we can be present for neutral sensation. And again, this is it's when we're able to lift up attention, that initial application of mind, vitakka, sustain attention on that, sustain the application of mind on the neutral, then that a change will take place, and this sense of bhiti and sukha arises. The mind one points and settles on the object, and it's because of the quality of attention. So that our practice is really one of say working with these with attention. We're working with vitakka vichara, so that there's a continuity of attention. It comes to the fore, and then whatever feeling is there, you know, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, it's not. It's sort of beside the point, and that's a real quality of freedom. There's a real stability of mind when we're not dependent on the range of feeling in order to. You know, because that's most of what people's lives are, and there's this wonderful quote that the Buddha gives of the for the ordinary unenlightened person, there is no escape from unpleasant feeling rather than pleasant feeling. And that, that sense of, and that's human existence in a nutshell. Is that constant trying to escape from that which is unpleasant by finding that which is pleasant through the senses, and by its very nature, of course, it's not really, it doesn't satisfy. So it's definitely a lost cause, but that being able to be present with feeling, seeing a feeling as a feeling, knowing a feeling as a feeling, experiencing the feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, and holding it with attention, then that has a possibility of sort of transforming into that the qualities of well-being and one-pointedness, and the mind coming together. Can work with that.
Sadhu.